Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, this story has everything. A guy fishing, getting a gator out, old people running everywhere. They were outside trying to enjoy the day, and a gator starts chasing them. And a guy in a flannel shirt that has the sleeves ripped off that showed up barefoot, barehanded, and wrestled the 8-foot gator. I mean, this literally is the story that has everything that you'd ever want in a Florida man story. So let's start with it. A Florida man, there's two headlines here, and it's the same story. First is a Florida man went fishing and pulled out an alligator that chased him. And then the second part of this story is a Florida man wrangled an 8-foot gator with bare hands and without shoes. He was watching a hockey game and apparently all hell broke loose. He's an MMA fighter and he went out and he had wrestled this gator. This is a crazy story. First off, look at, I love that the shirt's sleeveless. That's my favorite thing about this story. So this guy's blue collar brawler. I'm correcting myself. There's two stories here. The MMA fighter, he captured a gator that was found in, it was chasing people near this school, and the gator was like apparently running towards everybody and scaring the bejeebus out of everybody, and he heard what was happening, and apparently, because he lives right there, he was watching a hockey game, and he's also, I should note, a licensed trapper, and he was watching the hockey game and he went and wrestled this gator, and that was the end of it. Florida Fish and Wildlife took it into custody. Barefoot. I just was thinking he's on his bare knees on that pavement. That had to hurt. But the shirt is my favorite thing in the world. That is how you wear a sleeveless shirt, gents. So kudos to him. The Florida man who went fishing and pulled a gator out that chased him. Juan, the screenshot or the screen grab of this gator running at people is my favorite thing. Because the gator's like basically hovering. It's going so fast. And there's a lady with a helmet on who's jogging. You can tell she's out, you know, doing her exercise. And it's at a park. And this dude fishes, pulls this gator out of the pond, which at some point you're going to. My question is, at what point did he realize that he had a gator on, and when did he run off? Because this thing is well up on land chasing people. But he said he was trying to reel out his catch, and then he didn't expect the gator to come out, but the gator apparently was mad, started chasing him, and took off. Florida Fish and Wildlife had to intervene, they had to get involved, and they captured this gator. Okay, so this man was accused of shooting another McDonald's guy in an a guy at McDonald's, a patron, after an argument over sauce. There's a Florida man who was accused of shooting a customer at a McDonald's drive-thru because the guy, first guy, didn't get the sauce that he wanted, so he got mad, and another guy intervened, and the guy who intervened apparently got shot. And it just wild. And it was an older man. It was a 19-year-old versus a 48-year-old. The 48-year-old was the one who apparently started the problem. He was arrested. He's in jail. No bond available. Our partners who help bring you free radio, the folks over at Kel-Tec. You've heard me talk for months now about the Kel-Tec Sub 2K. Nothing's changed. It's still a brand. They came out with it earlier this year, and it's been shipping. And so the Sub 2K, a 9mm carbine, it folds in half. It's great when space is limited, and it's just a very innovative. The way it's designed is incredibly innovative. And I like the previous iterations, and I have the Gen 2, now the Gen 3 that they have. You don't have to detach your optics anymore to fold it in half, which is nice. The whole thing, that twist and turn, rotating fore-end, it's patent pending. It just, you know, quickly and easily folds it in half. Also can just as quickly and easily deploy it as well. And some of the other upgrades that they made to it include, they have the trigger redesign mechanics. You get a lightened 5-pound pull, so that translates into improved accuracy. The action's been updated. The operating handles is it's super. It's easier to pull back. You have an internal buffer. That means softer felt recoil. There's just a lot of really cool stuff that they've improved on this. And so if you haven't seen the Gen 3 Sub 2K, it reads a Sub 2000 on the website. You got to go check it out. It's from Kel-Tec, family owned and operated, made in America, Florida based, and all their stuff super innovative. And I mean, that's this Sub-2K is one of the cooler things that they make. You got to check it out. To learn more about it, visit KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Do other student groups have this kind of target on their back, or do you feel that you are being targeted because of the fact that it is in solidarity with Palestinians and against what Israel is doing to Palestinians?
Oh, this is 100% targeted. Every single protest that we have, there's a group of counter protesters that bring all of their items, their flags and things like that. And they're not seen as having unsanctioned protests or really receive the kind of disciplinary warnings that many of our fellow organizers receive just for being seen at these protests.
That's a lie.
And so there is definitely some hypocrisy here, especially you can kind of see it with the students that were sprayed us with the chemical weapons and the fact that there's no public information as to what happened.
Them, story.
But rather, the university is actively discussing what is happening to the students here and making it a whole public spectacle rather than when we haven't done anything to physically harm students, whereas those that sprayed those chemical weapons physically.
So the Charlottesville Tiki Torch protesters meet your match. This is the Abercrombie and Bitch Infantata. The protesters at all of these college campuses. And that individual, that's Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, who was saying that, oh, her group is 100% targeted. First off, the fart spray thing, that somebody, one of their own people pulled a prank. One of their own protesters pulled a prank on the other one, and they decided to make up a story and blame Jewish students for it and say that it was some kind of like a chemical attack. And it was, I mean, that's, I'm not, that's so stupid. It defies all logic. But they're arguing essentially that they don't want any anti-protest to disrupt their protest. That's what she's arguing for. And she was one of the people who was taken into custody over the weekend because they were screaming invectives, and their protests go way beyond protesting for Hamas in Gaza. Like they are actively like denigrating Jewish students and making it unsafe by like barring their entry to certain buildings and all of this. So it goes way beyond that. That's why, by the way, that's why they were being removed. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour with you, Dana Lash here. You can listen to the radio program across the country, and you can also watch the simulcast on all platforms everywhere. But that's it. Columbia University has also canceled all in-person classes as the protests have dominated the campus. And even like the rabbis near in the area have been issuing warnings to Jewish students. So the Columbia University, all their in-person classes, because everything's been escalating. The school's rabbi warned Jewish students not to return to campus amid of horrifying spikes in extreme anti-Semitism. There's been a lot of stuff that I can't even play that's been on video because we'd have to censor the whole thing and you wouldn't be able to hear it. It's really nasty stuff. I mean, this is, people aren't just like making this up. It's not hyperbole. I mean, I've seen, I don't know how much video there exists out there. People don't even care about being caught on video doing this and saying this stuff anymore. They don't care. Because they've been given a pass by the left. I mean, this isn't about protesting for Hamas in Gaza. And by the way, when you're protesting for Gaza, you're protesting for Hamas. This isn't about protesting for Gaza / Hamas. This isn't about protesting as a criticism of the Israeli government. These are organized students, organized by many, many different forces. And this is about targeting Jewish students on campus. And the fact that it's gotten so unsafe. So Columbia is a private, it's private property. And so for NYPD to even be there means that the university had to call them. And the university is pretty leftist. For the university to have to call NYPD tells you everything that you need to know. They had to call and bring NYPD on their property because it's been that bad. That bad. When they, and the way that these demonstrators, they make it to where if it's on the, you know, they set up near temple on the campus, or they set up and put their little tent cities out there so that they make it to where Jewish students must go through them or must go past, right past them, in order to get where they need to go to access different parts of campus. It's done by design. It's purposeful for harassment, targeted harassment based on religion. And then when they get in trouble for their behavior, then they cry that they're the ones being victimized. And that's not how it works. They've been victimizing everyone else. Accountability isn't victimization. And so they've been, I mean, it's, and it's what, like right before Passover. They also, at Columbia University and the NYPD, they actually made it clear that they could not guarantee Jewish students' safety. And then Ilhan Omar's daughter, this 21-year-old trust fund terrorist, claims that she has nowhere to live or eat after she was suspended from school. She's like, oh, I'm homeless now and I'm starving. Why don't you have your mom or your dad, uncle, whatever, help you out? I mean, that's just saying. Why don't you have one of them help you out? I mean, you know, if you F-A'd and then now you're F-O-ing, so I don't feel bad for you. You don't get to be a victim. That keffiyeh that they wear, that's the new tiki torch. It's the exact same thing as the tiki torch in Charlottesville. They are those people. They are the exact same people. They just wear a scarf instead of the tiki torch. It's the same thing. And so she's like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't know what I'm going to do. Teen Vogue has been there to lionize her as far as its propaganda. And you want to know why young women, or why women in general, survey the way they do and all these polls that are taken? Because they're brainwashed from the time they're teenagers, impressionable young women, by everything. The media they consume, the women-oriented fashion, magazines, everything. It's all designed and organized to pierce the minds of impressionable young ladies and brainwash them. Of course, she was raised by Ilhan Omar, so, you know, go figure. The failed rocket doesn't fall far from the launch site on top of the school building. You know, it just goes to show. But she's the one who's victimized in all of this now, you know. She was at Barnard College. She said the administration there hung her out to dry. She can't go to her, she can't use her dining plan. Well, yeah, because you violated their rules on behavior. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it shows, it's been anarchy there. It's screaming. People have been saying, yes, we are all Hamas, and then a slur. That's what the protesters have been saying. And I'm not talking like one or two of them. So I told you. And the fact that a lot of these students can't even go to classes there safely is wild. Just wild. These colleges, you know, they created this situation for themselves. And I hope a lot of people now see this is what we were kind of warning about. They're using the left always uses, they rehash the same tactics. This is the Occupy Wall Street tactic that these these campus protesters are using. They're just going to camp out. She's not homeless. She can get a little tent, live in one of those little tent cities. Right? Same difference. She's just going, she's struggling so much with her expensive iPhone and all of that stuff. And she documents her struggle. My word. Just some of literally the exact same. That scarf is the tiki torch. Today, we're diving into the future of health with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. So what exactly is Lumen? Lumen measures your metabolism through your breath. You just breathe into Lumen first thing in the morning, and it tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. It's like having your own personal nutritionist in the palm of your hand. And I really like the idea of this thing. So not only does Lumen give you real-time insights into your metabolism, but it also provides personalized nutrition plans tailored to your body's needs for the day. And here's why metabolic health matters. Your metabolism is your body's engine, powering everything from your workouts to your sleep. And Lumen helps you optimize it for easier weight management, improved energy levels, and better overall health. But what about metabolic flexibility? Well, it's crucial. That's your body's ability to switch between using different fuel sources like carbs and fat. And Lumen, it helps track and improve your metabolic flex score, putting you in control of your health journey. So if you're ready to take charge of your health, head over to lumen.me and use code DanaShow at checkout for $100 off your very own Lumen. That's Lumen.me and use code DanaShow for $100 off. And remember, it's .me. That is Lumen.me. Don't wait. Your health journey starts now.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So New York Home Depot, they've actually had to hire guards and dogs to keep their parking lots safe from thieves and aggressive illegal entrants that have been flooding the parking lots. They said that there have been numerous private security guards, people with bulletproof vests, German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois in tow patrolling the Home Depot in New Rochelle. That's just one of them. They said that it's just about omnipresence. It's like, you know, they don't go out and bite anything, but there have been people who come into the country illegally that aggressively solicit for work, or people who loiter there, try to camp in the parking lot. They said that there, at one point in the Bronx, there were at least 30 illegal entrants that were at the doors of a Home Depot, and they were trying to, like, make contact with contractors and all of that to get work and aggressively confronting shoppers. Some of them were trying to sell them phony Apple AirPods or demanding money when they were leaving the store. And they said that if you're a woman particularly leaving the store, they really would target you. So they had to bring in all the privates. This is why you got to have a gun. But in New York, they make it to where you can't because they don't want to keep you safe. It's all about making sure that the criminals have enough people to victimize. That's all they care about. A wave of narco-chemical terrorism. Walmart, apparently in my area, is not the only ones using drones. Apparently now the cartels may do them as well. This from a British newspaper. A wave of narco-chemical terrorism. The cartels may soon be delivering fentanyl from drones. Dropping fentanyl from drones. And maybe weapons or who knows what else. They said this has already been happening with the Jalisco New Generation cartel. Apparently they've been doing this. And then they've also been using it as a way to drop chemical agents on enemies in different Mexican municipalities. Oh my heavens. Well, you knew it was coming. There's currently no response from the government how to deal with it, especially either with Democrats or Republicans. Guess what? There's finally some kind of high-speed rail construction. They don't need this. It's literally like a two-hour drive from L.A. to Vegas. They're going to do a high-speed rail between Vegas and California. Privately owned Brightline, they're going to break ground next week on a $12 billion high-speed rail project connecting Vegas and Southern California. I think this is actually incredibly stupid. It's literally a two-hour ride. That's it. It's a two-hour drive through the desert. That's it. This is one of the dumbest expenses I've ever seen. But they said that their electric trains are going to depart every 45 minutes. They're going to go from a station at Rancho Cucamonga, which is a L.A. suburb, to Vegas. $12 billion. Remember, California has had billions of dollars planned for a high-speed rail, like from L.A. to San Francisco that never got done. It's like one of Gavin Newsom's biggest embarrassments. And apparently, Ontario came out with a study saying that the people who like loud cars are young and male, and they are so psychopaths. Hi, I like loud cars. So this is your annual reminder that the Earth Day founder, Ira Einhorn, killed and composted his girlfriend because he was such a believer in green everything. Ira Einhorn, just a reminder of all of these environmental things are founded by communists. All of these, all the pretend environmental concern, these people don't give a rat's backside about the environment. If they cared about the environment, they wouldn't outsource and export all their pollution to countries like China or anywhere else but the United States. They think if it's not here, then they can tell people that it doesn't exist, and they can sell you this like green theology and pretend that they're achieving all of their objectives when they're not. And this is no different. So back in April of 1970, Ira Einhorn hosted the first Earth Day event in Philly. And then 7 years after that, he was discovered to have murked his girlfriend and composted her body inside of a trunk. So he was a big ecological warrior back then. He was like one of the original, you know, ecological warriors along with the weathermen, you know, all those people. They really cared about the environment, you know, I'm sure. But his girlfriend of 5 years, Helen Maddox, she broke up with him, and he was very abusive towards her. he threatened her because she wanted to leave him and all of this stuff. And then when she went back to the apartment because she left, he threw her stuff out in the street. And when he told Maddox, he's like, you better come and get your stuff. He's like, because I'm going to leave it out here in the street, all of your personal belongings. It's going to stay out here in the street. You better come and get it if you want it back. And so on September 9th of 1977, she went back to the apartment that she and Einhorn shared in Philly to get her stuff. And she just disappeared up and disappeared. And then when police began questioning Einhorn, he said she just went out. She wanted to get some tofu and sprouts. That's what it was. She went out at night to get some tofu and sprouts. Well, 18 months later, they searched his apartment because a neighbor complained that a reddish-brown, foul-smelling liquid was leaking from the ceiling directly below his bedroom closet. And when police went and searched Earth Day founder Ira Einhorn's closet, they discovered Maddox's beaten and partially mummified body stuffed into a trunk that was also packed with styrofoam, a bunch of air fresheners, and newspaper. So then they arrested him, but he jumped bail. And then he, for decades, traveled around the world evading authorities. He was in Ireland. He was in the UK. He was in France. He was in Sweden. And then 23 years later, after he murdered his ex-girlfriend and chopped and put her in a, composted her in a bin in his closet, he was finally extradited to the United States from France, and he was put on trial. And then he blamed the CIA. And he said the CIA did it. Now, far be it from me to defend some of the stuff that the CIA did, but we all know that this is absolute. No, this guy's, he's a commie terrorist. That's what he is. And he's just like every other progressive male. He's abusive and he's weak and he has a problem with women. And I've never met a progressive man. There's no exception to any of the progressive men I've ever met in my life that have not had those issues. Every one of them does. And so he went from founding Earth Day to composting his girlfriend. So that's the guy who founded Earth Day, Ira Einhorn, a murderer who composted his girlfriend. So when all these people celebrate Earth Day, especially those people on the left, they're out there celebrating an abusive, woman-hating murderer who beat his girlfriend, killed her, and composted her in a trunk in his closet in Philly. Happy Earth Day. That's the guy who founded it.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.